if you could start off by summarizing what happened that resulted in the College Station City Council having to reimburse HUD for this federal grant money that was supposed to be used to build homes for low-income buyers?
Well, I, in some ways, I wish I could tell you the answer to that. What the city has told us is that there was a technical violation, not because of the way that the funds were used, but because of the way that a line of credit that Embrace had at their bank was handled. So Embrace had a line of credit that they used for constructing projects in College Station and elsewhere. And so the city of College Station's position is that essentially because that line of credit was secured in part by the two lots in College Station, that somehow the HUD funds that were the grant monies that were given to Embrace when it was used to you know pay down on that line of credit, that basically it was for expenditures made both inside and outside the city of College Station. So I'm not sure that's really a violation. I can't find that is a violation under HUD rules, and nobody has been able to point to me specifically that it is in fact a violation. But College Station self-reported it as a violation, which is what triggered them having to reimburse the funds. So I think the most important thing to realize in the situation is that there is no allegation, nor has there ever been an allegation that anybody took money or stole money or misused money. Without a doubt, the money that the city of College Station gave was used for the construction of low to moderate income housing in the city of College Station.
Which was going to be the next thing I was going to bring up. The two homes did get built.
Yeah, the second home is not quite finished. Basically, because of all this stuff, it pretty much put a pause on the construction of the second house, and it caused the delay of selling the first house. So while we were trying to work out something with the city of College Station, we had, I think, three or four different contracts on the first house that fell through. So the second house is not finished, and now with the removal of the grant funds and the fact that Embrace's bank, because of the threats of the city of College Station, will not loan construction funds under the line of credit anymore. The second house hasn't been able to be finished.
Are negotiations going on with Embrace in the city of College Station to resolve this?
Yeah, I mean, we've been negotiating with the city of College Station about a resolution of this for more than a year and a half. At various points, we've thought, hey, we might have this done, and, you know, we just can't quite get there. And we've worked out different scenarios with the bank, where the bank was willing to do some things to help in the situation. And so far, we just haven't been able to get there. And so I don't know what's going to happen. My clients have always said the same thing. They've consistently said the same thing from the day they signed the original grant to today. I mean, basically, you know, a portion of the grant funds were going to be repaid to College Station under the terms of the original grant. and those were going to be reimbursed at the end, you know, when the second house sold. And my clients still intend to do that. Quite frankly, they intend to do it whether or not we reach agreement with the city of College Station.
Any decision yet on how Embrace is going to get the first house sold and to finish construction of the second one and to get the second one sold?
Well, the first house has already been sold. The money that they cleared on the first house, the profit, you would say, that they cleared on the first house, they are reinvesting in the second house to finish it. But it doesn't look like they're going to have enough money to finish off the second house. They had already started construction on the second house, so like the foundation had already been poured, and you know, a bunch of work had already been done on the second house. But even before this all came up, but it pretty much caused them to put a pause on the construction for more than a year. So now they're taking the sales proceeds from the first house, and they're trying to use the profit off that house to do something on the second one.
What options does Embrace have then to find the remaining funds necessary to complete the second house?
They're either going to have to try and raise the money, or at some point the city of College Station is going to have to provide something in writing that the bank or a bank is willing to accept to satisfy the bank that the city of College Station wouldn't try to foreclose on the house or otherwise claim a first lien position on the house.
And any residual fallout with other clients Embrace has because of what's been happening in College Station?
No. Actually, there hasn't been. When all this first started, a year and a half ago, Embrace went to other entities where they had the same types of contracts and basically said, hey, look, here's what's going on with the city of College Station. This is the correspondence and feedback that we've received from them. We want to make you aware of it because the line of credit went to fund projects in your jurisdiction as well. And so, is there any problem? Do you see this as being a violation? You know, they wanted to be upfront and open with those entities, and everybody else disagrees with the interpretation that the City College Station has, and so none of them have basically taken any action against Embrace. A couple of them have asked that they just make some changes where they put the line of credit funds or, things like that. But it's just kind of technical stuff. It really isn't substantive. So no one else seems to really have a problem with what Embrace did, and they still have these types of HUD contracts for other entities.
Which would include?
I'm not going to go into that.
For listeners who are not familiar with the organization Embrace Brazos Valley, if you could give a bit of a background on the organization itself.
Sure. The Embrace started originally, before becoming its own entity, it kind of grew out of a ministry that Living Hope Church had. and there was just some folks in the church that were interested in helping in kind of that low income housing market to try and provide good homes to folks who had trouble affording them. And so eventually that grew into a separate faith-based ministry with people from multiple churches. It got incorporated and got a 501c3 designation. And so it's still made up of folks of faith that are interested in providing good housing for those who have trouble affording it. And I would say I think they have one employee that works part-time, but otherwise everyone is just a volunteer and is not getting paid.
Have I missed anything else that listeners need to know about the organization in general or about this situation with the city of College Station?
You know, Bill, I think the thing that's hard in this situation is just, you know, the way it sometimes get presented at a council meeting, it's a very stark deal, you know, because it's a budget amendment and it talks about reimbursement to HUD, and it kind of makes it sound, you know, bad. But, like I said, there's just been no allegation whatsoever that there's like theft or anything like that. I mean, the only thing that's been said about Embrace and that has ever been said about Embrace is about a alleged technical violation of HUD regulations regarding collateralizing a line of credit that was used for operations in multiple cities. And collateralizing it with these two lots in College Station. And that's the only thing that has ever been told to me or to anybody with Embrace that that they did wrong or are alleged to have done wrong.
And that explanation was not included in the blog post, and that's why I wanted to contact a representative to try to dig a little bit farther into that, and I'm glad you have brought that out.
Yeah, and so that's what I think is very frustrating is because, you know, several members of the board have been called by people that know them, you know, through their church or whatever, you know, calling up and saying, well, aren't you on the board of that nonprofit? And what'd you guys do wrong? And who stole money? And those sorts of things. And it's like none of that stuff happened. I mean, there's no real allegation that they even did it, that any wrongdoing was even intentional. I mean, everybody agrees it's a technical thing, and it wasn't intentional. So that's why, and like I said before, I don't think that it's a technical violation because I don't think it's a violation at all under the HUD regulations. So that was the first thing I looked at when the problem surfaced, and that, you know, that's, but once you self-report to HUD, and once City College Station self-reported to HUD, it kind of tied everybody's hands from that point forward. And I don't know. So it's been kind of a frustrating situation because it's been somewhat unfair to my clients to the ministry itself and the directors and officers of the organization. It's, you know, they've been kind of given two black eyes when the truth is, you know, that nobody has really done anything wrong in the situation. One of the things that's crazy in this situation is, you know, at various points in time, I mean, when you have a contract like this, you pretty much got to be an open book to some extent with the government, you know. And so, I mean, at various points in time, they've submitted, you know, their check register to the city. I mean, it's not
sure.
This really has come about too because at first they have gone through different contract administrators on this contract. And kind of the original folks that were on the contract, they knew about this the whole time, the line of credit and how it was collateralized, and none of them raised any objection when it was done. So it's, you know, we're getting second guessed 2 and 3 years later, which is difficult.
And when you and then again you're dealing with HUD and bean counters at the federal level as well as the city level, then
once they self-reported, I mean, it was game over. I mean, there was really nothing else that any of us could do at that point. So, you know, just keep moving forward and try to pay the city back as best they can.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard when you've got a faith-based ministry, and it's a small ministry.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the other thing. It's not. I've been in other cities where there are nonprofits that have been established as, I'm editorially going to say, little empires by people who know how to work these systems, and you put that at one extreme, and then this seems to be on another extreme where, you know, these are volunteers who just want to make a difference in the community, and look where it's got you. So
that's exactly right. And what's frustrating is too that with the funds, that not all of the grant funds would have to be reimbursed, and so originally, but because of, you know, declaring them in default and reporting to HUD and all that kind of stuff, now they're responsible for reimbursing the city all of the grant funds instead of just a portion, which also changes the dynamic on what they can charge for the second house,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, whether or not it can be truly sold for low income. I mean, you know, just all of those sorts of things. And so it's a tough deal. Like I said, I think the bottom line is until we get the second house done, it's difficult because, you know, I mean, this is a kind of by the bootstraps low-income housing ministry.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they don't have $180,000. You know, the money that they got from the city of College Station is all sitting in those houses over there. So it's a difficult thing.